I've been calling for like 2 hours to get at you.
Oh, say word, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's just get started, bro. I don't want to take your time.
No problem.
Okay.
Sorry for the
inconvenience. Yeah, it's all good, dog. It's a blessing just to talk to you like this. And how did you guys first come together and form Boot Camp Click?
Well, that was formed through ST, through Smith & Wesson. Smith & Wesson was responsible for forming Boot Camp Click.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? To be straight up. That was formed around 1995.
And when did you feel like, damn, we really gonna make this work? Like, we gonna make money off what we love to do?
I can't say that it was a time that I ever knew that we was gonna make money off of it, because that was never my objective. Like,
I know.
Forefront, but I knew that we was always gonna make money because it was like this was gonna live.
Yeah. Okay, and you know all these new artists coming out, and do you have someone that impressed you, like, out of all these new artists?
A lot of good artists out, you know, doing their thing, you know. I'll give credit to Lil everybody that's doing their thing, you know what I'm saying? All the South and stuff, you know, Lil Wayne, I give credit to everybody doing their thing, man. I'm not one of them people that's, like, taking credit from people doing their thing.
Yeah.
So I'm the type of artist that I've always been involved in creativity, and I've always been involved in the what's going on, because hip-hop and rap is all about inventions. It's like science.
Right.
And that's what it's about, you know.
Okay.
And as long as you know, hip hop is about inventions, and as long as it's about that, you have to either invent or reinvent. If you invented something, you have to reinvent it. You have to invent something else.
Yeah.
You can't reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah.
Can invent something that the wheel goes. You can invent a new form of a rim.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel you. And so, do you think, like, it's hip hop is too commercialized right now?
What people never like, I can understand people's uncomfortability, discomfort, whatever the hell. I can just understand people's discomfort. With the change in the commercial sense of hip hop, because people feel that it's commercial because it got all. There was one time when hip hop was only around, like Biggie said. I remember every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Bashik, Marley Mall. But that's to show you that it was only every Saturday, every weekend. There was a point in time when hip hop was only on every weekend, and that was on every day. That's the growth of life. That's the growth of it. You can't stop the growth of something. So I'm not mad at the growth of hip hop. And if the growth of hip hop signifies the commercialism of it, then I'm not mad at the commercialism of it. But if the commercial of it signifies the I would say the death of purity in people doing it because it's something that is fun, then no, then I don't like commercialism. But I don't think that people have gotten it. I think that no matter what, I think people from other countries, I think people from other states, I think people still have the purity in their heart of hip-hop. I just don't think the people that see it that way agree. I don't think the people from same either generation or the same genre, I don't think they see it that way. I don't think that they agree. So I think that those people are the people in place of power right now. And I don't think that those people have an opportunity to speak their mind. I think eventually, once all of the people that feel that hip-hop isn't where it needs to out of the position where they, you know, they got to watch out because they could be on their way out, and the new people that's really coming up is going to be on their way in, and then there ain't going to be nobody that's going to be able to speak for the, for the, you know, this commercial. So we got to be able to create some type of format for this. We can't keep saying, yo, it ain't commercial, it ain't the way it was, and it's too commercial, and that, because we got to understand what commercial is. If Boot Camp sells a million records, are we commercial? Are we commercial if we sell a million records? Because if we sell a million records, that makes us commercial. It's fucking circle. Because it's 11 million people in New York City.
Yeah.
And there is no way that I wouldn't be able to sell, I shouldn't be able to sell to a quarter of New York City, which is less than a million people, more than a million people.
Yeah. And what do you think is missing from hip-hop right now? Because you know the people that speaking about political stuff ain't getting heard and getting played on radio and stuff like that.
It never was. They never really was. It was a time in hip-hop when political activism, I guess, was the shit, and it was cool to do so. But I think that that was because in media and movies.
Yeah.
And then I think all across the board, we were moving towards the whole political act. I think across the board, in the streets of everywhere, everybody was self-conscious, self-aware, whether they were self-aware of their, of their black culture,
right,
of their Jewish culture, of their white culture.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah, I feel you. And can you tell us about the new album that you guys are doing, The Last Stand?
Uh-huh.
You know, who's handling the production and who's featured on there?
Yo, word up. The new album is really gonna be crazy. It's gonna be mad bananas. It's really gonna be off the chain. It's because it's a good album, and it's an album that shows that we stand and are standing the test of time through the fact that we are breaking the mold of the groups that can't stand the test of time. Look, we've already passed standing the test of time, Stan. Like, we've been out since 92.
Yeah.
And it's 2006, going on 7. It's like, and we have been one of those groups that haven't really got across the line. So we at that point where it's like, either we're going to get across the line, push us across the line, or something. But we're not going to go away, and we're not making whack music.
Yeah.
So it's like something has to happen.
Yeah, and you guys released like over 19 albums, and what keeps you guys motivated to keep pushing?
The fact that we don't make garbage.
Yeah.
And the fact that we don't make bullshit, and we keep an audience. That's all it is. That's all it is. Sure, we may not have the same niggas on the corner and everything, but we've moved on to an audience that has broadened our horizon. You know, we doing shows. We're international champions. You know, we stay overseas more than half the hip hop groups out there.
Yeah, you were in Denmark, right? Like last month.
We stayed, but that's one of the countries we were in.
Yeah.
You know, we did over 14 countries. We stay overseas. If you look at our tour dates, we stay overseas. I don't think there's very, very, very little groups.
That's rare.
There's very little groups that stay over groups like us.
Yeah, and what's the best thing about performing overseas?
The best thing about overseas? It's a vast vibe. It's open. The people are really receptive to the hip hop. It's like breaking a new market. It's breaking a new field. It's opening new grounds, tearing down new trees. And at the same time, we nobody could really fuck with us like that. We are, you know what I'm trying to tell you? Like, the thing about overseas is just that we are like platinum over there. You know
they
what I'm
feel
saying?
You more, like, the people more over here is like more into underground type of, and people.
Over there, no. Over there, they're more into underground. And over there, they into commercial shit over there too. But it's just, I don't know. It's just like the white people, the Chinese people, the black people, the African people. It's so many different countries overseas that's what makes it different.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah.
There's so many different countries overseas that it's like over here everything is one country.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And overseas,
it's more cultures, and
it's
you
more
get
cultures, and everybody is all in one. You know what I'm trying
right.
to say?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know, I got an unreleased album from Tupac called One Nation that you guys are on most of the songs. And do you know who has the rights to that album?
Only Tupac.
How was it working with Pac on that project?
Very, very spiritual.
Do you have any crazy memory you can share with us when you were in the studio with Pac?
I think my best memory is the very, very first night that I got there.
Yeah.
I was actually drunk, and I fell out on the bed that I chose to sleep in. For the rest of my stay at the house, at Pop's house, because me and the crew live with Pop. So my bed how I chose my bed for the rest of the stay was when I first got to Pop's house, I was so drunk that I just busted in his house and I saw the first available bed and I fell on it and I just fell out. I almost hurled and looked at me, he started laughing, and I just said, I'm sorry, I must apologize about 10 times.
Damn.
I was saying, sorry, Pop, I'm sorry, and he was just laughing, I think that was probably one of my most ill experiences, because that had never really happened to me. I'm not a drinker, and I'm not used to drinking.
Yeah.
And I felt so hyped in the beginning of the night, but at that point, I was
Did you record it in L.A., or where were you staying at?
We recorded it in Death Row Studio.
Okay. How long did that project take? Do you remember?
About 2.5 weeks.
Damn. So he was fast working on his stuff.
Fast, yeah.
Okay. Do you think George Bush